so good to have you guys here this morning. Thanks for being here at the Dwelling, just a church where you can come as you are. Hey, I've encouraged you guys to pull out your phones and actually jump on Facebook, okay? And I want you to go to the Dwelling TX, and I want you to actually check in. It's really easy. You just go to the top. You guys probably all know how to do this. You just go to the top, those little three little dot thingamajiggers, hit it. Then there's a little button that says check in, and you can check in, okay? We want to just have you share out with all your friends and stuff that you're here, that this is a church where you find valuable and all that kind of stuff. So thanks so much for being here, guys, this morning. Let's pray. God, I just pray right now that you would keep Satan and demons at bay from this, you would come right now into this moment and that you would speak to us, Lord. Lord, we are here to see you. We are here to hear from you. Help Seth Kunze to kind of just slowly disappear, God, so that you might just kind of do your thing. Open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to not only hearing the word in our ears, but let it get into our hearts. Holy Spirit, you have to be the one to do that. I pray that you'd help me right now, Lord, just to share your words. Not a word more, not a word less, and what's needed. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we are looking at this text from Luke. And the thing that I first thought about, well, not first thought about, as I was thinking all week, I was thinking about how this next week, well, Thanksgiving week, my family gets together, as some of you know, and this year there's looking to be, we're actually still trying to figure out if we're going to go or not, but it's looking to be 39 people in one house for an entire week with one bathroom in this house. Kid you not, okay? This is a true story. And there's 39 of us, and when you start to do that, when you're talking 24 grandkids, nieces, nephews running around, when you start to do the math and you start thinking about it, you have to give them something to do, right? You got to get them thinking about something. And so my dad, just like a couple weeks ago, went out and bought, throw it up, he bought a four-wheeler, okay? And he basically was like, okay, we're going to take this four-wheeler, and we're going to give the 24 grandkids basically just rides for an entire week. And so another, throw it up another picture. This was a couple weeks ago. That's one of my brother-in-laws. That's my dad on his bike. They're giving rides to some of the grandkids at our house, all this kind of stuff. This was a couple weeks ago. But there's the four-wheeler in the background having a great time with it, right? So he went out, bought this used, kind of cheap, whatever, four-wheeler. But he bought it. Why? He literally bought it to be used. He bought this four-wheeler so that grandkids would actually get on it and hit the gas and go. He wants them to use it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever bought something where you're like, I really actually want to use this thing? You know, sometimes we buy stuff and it kind of sits up on the shelf or it sits in the cupboard or it goes into the closet or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so sometimes this stuff happens, but sometimes you buy something, you're like, I actually really want to use this like all the time. This thing is going to, you know, this thing's going to sit in the garage most of the year until Thanksgiving time. 24 grandkids get on it and go. He bought it to use it. And as I was thinking about this in the context of where we are, which is kind of a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer and looking at the petitions, and we get to this place where in the Lord's Prayer we pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or trespass being just sin. Forgive us our sin, Lord. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking, isn't it true that God has bought you forgiveness? And he bought it to be used? Like, he bought the four-wheeler so that they go on it. God has bought you forgiveness so that it might be used, so that it might be received by faith. And here's this young woman, here's this young lady in our text, this sinner who comes into this house where Jesus is. Now, this isn't like our houses. This is different. You can get into people's houses easier back then. You know, in Texas, you're going to die. You know, that's just the way it is. But this isn't Texas. And so this lady comes in. She can kind of do what she's doing. Now, she really shouldn't have been in terms of kind of Jewish law and stuff like that. This lady's a sinner, but she comes in anyway. She gets down on her knees. She begins to wet Jesus' feet with her tears and wipes her feet with her hair. And she's pouring this nice perfume on it. And she is just weeping and crying. And she's just before. And everybody knows. What does the text say? She's a sinner. She's a sinner. Now, what does that mean? We don't fully know if this is like prostitute, if this is just someone who's not living a good life. What does that mean? We don't know. But the text kind of feels like everybody knows this lady's like not good. She's done some pretty not good stuff in her life. And it's all the more unbelievable when Jesus comes along. And what does he say in verse 47 and 48? He says, listen, lady, I tell you, your sins, which are many. See, even Jesus acknowledges the fact, yeah, you've done many sins. What does he say? You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Because Jesus knows something. See, our God, listen, if there's one thing I want you to understand, it's that our God loves to forgive. God has bought forgiveness for each and every one of us. There's different words I could use here, but he's actively trying. He wants to bring forgiveness to you. He's already bought it on the cross. When Jesus goes to the cross and opens up his arms and he's dying there. When he's on the cross bearing, you know, look at 1 Peter, this 1 Peter text. I wanted to read this to you. He bears in himself our sins in his body on the tree. He takes all sin upon himself on the cross 2,000 years ago. And he pays the price for that sin. Yeah! Amen. I mean, that's just, yeah! This is what God loves to do. He's been doing it all the way. He's been doing it through the whole, all of time. I don't have time to sit and actually explain and talk about David, who commits adultery and murder and a whole host of other things. And God comes along with the prophet Nathan. And what does he say? One word, you're forgiven. Your guilt is taken away. I don't have time to really actually expound on Jonah. This guy who's in the belly of a fish is brought to repentance and has brought forgiveness. I don't got time really to talk about Peter, who denies Jesus 3 times and is not only brought back into the community of faith, he's brought back into leadership of that community of faith. I don't have time to talk about the paralytic guy who comes through the roof right below Jesus and the 4 friends, and the first thing Jesus says is not be healed and rise up. First thing he says is, you have a bigger problem, and your bigger problem is sin. He says, you are forgiven. I don't have time to talk about the adulteress, a woman caught in adultery, brought before Jesus, and Jesus says, I don't condemn you either. Time and time again, we have a God who forgives. He brings forgiveness. He wants to do this. And the reason I'm kind of railing on this is because all sin is committed against God. See, this is actually something, I want to kind of bring this out just for a second. This is something that the people actually really got frustrated with Jesus about. Because when Jesus says, I forgive you your sin, see, if I go and I kind of punch Mark right here, I'm sorry, Mark, I wouldn't do that. But if I punch Mark in the face or something, like, and then Miss Jacqueline comes along and says, you are forgiven. Like, why, how is she part of this? That's between us, right? And so when Jesus says, I forgive you your sins, everybody's kind of like, wait, how can you be part of that? Well, it's because I'm the Son of God, and all sin that's committed is committed also against me. And I actually have the right to come along and say, you are forgiven. You ever thought about it like that? As I was thinking about this, the thing I really want to highlight today, there's so many different angles you could take, but the thing that I really want to highlight is the problem is not whether or not God wants to forgive your sins. You know what I think the biggest problem is right now that I want to just kind of bring out to today is that sometimes we don't think we're sinners. And I know I'm not talking to everybody in the room here at this point because some of you really realize, I'm broken, I'm a sinner. But have you given serious thought to the fact that you are broken? You are a sin. You sin. That is such a loaded word, I know, in today's culture. But I think here's why. Our culture teaches a lot of different things, but one of the things it teaches us is, first of all, that the most important thing in your life, well, maybe not quite that far, one of the most important things is your self-esteem. You need to feel good about yourself. And our culture teaches us any way that needs to happen, as long as nobody else gets bodily harmed, as long as that doesn't happen, any way in which you can become, feel better about yourself, you do that thing. So what our culture teaches is you to look inside yourself, try to find some little cool little thing, whatever that thing is, bring that baby up and just highlight that thing. Do whatever you can to make it all the more. Buy a self-help book. Do what you can. Your self-esteem. Your individualism. See, this is postmodernism to the T, folks. And so you and I are taught that. The second thing I think we're taught is we are taught that we can't have a say in somebody else's life. And somebody else doesn't have a say in my life. You understand that? Do I need to bring the word judge out? Right? I mean, is anybody there with me? Right? We're taught this stuff. That we're not to now I get that in a sense, okay? I do. But we are taught by our culture, you as an individual and what you personally believe is what matters most. Your self-esteem. And so it actually teaches you that a message like this that points you to something like you are a sinner or you are broken is our culture hates that. Our culture reels against that stuff because it's a slap right in what it's trying to teach us. So why is God allowing something like, woman, you're very sinful. You've got a lot of sin. Why is Jesus saying something like that? I think it's because he wants to not only break her heart, which is already broken, he's going after Simon a bit, the Pharisee. And he's saying, Simon, you haven't done the work that she has. You haven't been broken. You don't understand your own sin. What is Simon doing? The Pharisee doing in this text? He's looking at the woman and he's saying, you are the sinner. You are the broken one. He might even have an acknowledgement of kind of his own kind of general sin, but he hasn't stopped and given serious thought to his own hypocrisy, to his own sin and brokenness, to the fact that he has just, by not doing a few things, like when Jesus says what he says about not anointing his feet, or you've not even kissed, you've not welcomed me into your home, yet he has absolutely kind of brought this, how would be the word, shame upon himself in the face of God who's standing there before him? I mean, this guy's broken all over the place, and Jesus is coming and saying, yeah, you're broken, man. This morning, I just want you to know we're sinners. When you pray, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those. When you pray that prayer, you're praying a recognition that you're a sinner. But the coolest part about this message is the fact that God, he bought the four-wheeler. He already bought it. His son died. Right? His son died. And so God comes and now just offers forgiveness and salvation freely. He wants you to be connected to him. He wants you to break, you to understand that if you turn inward, you're only going to find more and more junk. That's fine. Find that junk. Get it out there. Let his forgiveness come and, what did we just sing? Kind of wash over us so that we might experience forgiveness through faith. How does Jesus end this whole text? Woman, your what has saved you? Your faith has saved you. And so this morning, when we start to think about the fact that we're sinners, you're going to find stuff. You're going to find generational sin. You're going to start to find sin that's maybe kind of has some racism attached to it. You're going to find sin that has, you are doing some things that are maybe exactly what your parents did. And so you were abused and now you're abusing. You were, you saw addiction take place and now you're addicted. Or you saw things take place in a marriage and now you do those same things. You saw kind of this insensitivity between your parents or something, and now that's how you are. Or you're passive-aggressive now because others have been. How do we break some of these cycles of sin? It's acknowledging the fact that you're caught up in it. That's the problem that I really want to highlight today. I know there's some of you that have the problem of, I don't think God can forgive me this sin. It's too big. Well, let me tell you, yes, he can. It's already been won for you on the cross, whether it's whatever it might be. But the thing I'm really trying to bring out today is, do we even recognize we're sinners? One person does, yeah. Second point, real quick. Second point. I love that. 20 minutes in. I'm on my second point. No, this is a fast one. This is a fast one. If God loves to forgive, I want you to kind of take this phrase with you. Forgiven loves to forgive. Forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. This is something Jesus is teaching in this passage. Where he says, man, if you're forgiven a bunch, you're going to love a bunch. You're forgiven little, you're going to love a little. But what he's really trying to do here is trying to point us to understand that we are called to forgive. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32, that's how I remember it. We're called to forgive. And when, if you're struggling today with bringing forgiveness to somebody, with this message, I'd ask you to do something. Instead of focusing on that other person for a second, I'd ask you to do a little bit more thinking on processing your own sin and giving thought to what God has done for you, bringing you forgiveness. And as you begin to experience and understand the depths of how much God loves you and how much He has forgiven you, I'm here to tell you, it will drive you to forgive. It will drive you to forgive. And I realize that phrase, forgiven loves to forgive. I debated putting that in there. I was almost just going to put forgiven forgives. Because do we really love to forgive? The reason I kept it in there is because I'm not saying it's like to forgive. I think it's love to forgive with our correct understanding of what love really is. And that's a whole nother message maybe for another day. But I'm asking you, is there somebody who has hurt you? That maybe you don't even need to talk to them. If there's abuse or something that's taken place, I don't know. There's some of that you just need to leave behind. But you need to forgive them. Is there somebody that you need to forgive for their sin? Because you know how much you've been forgiven. Our God has bought you forgiveness. He wants you to receive it by faith. It's yours already. The hard work is done on the cross. It's done. Receive it. No matter how messed up you are, no matter how broken you are, even if you're just broken because you're arrogant and not understanding you're broken, receive it. You know, the hard work is done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for, Jesus, we're just blown away. We're blown away by what you have done for us. Jesus, we are blown away by how much you love us. And as I think about my sin, Lord, I mean, I've never like killed somebody or something. I've never done, you know, something super terrible in the eyes of the world. But as I just stop and meditate on my own sin, I start to realize that you have forgiven me a whole lot. Man, and I thank you for that, Lord. I think every single person in this room, kind of that chief of sinners, though I be, Lord, that whole song, I mean, I think we could all sing that one. We could all be singing that song of, yeah, we're pretty broken. And Lord, our culture, you know how much of a struggle this is for us, because our culture is trying to get us to not think about this, Lord. But as we think about these things, as we think about our sin, you allow us to do that, to drive us to a place where we simply need you and your forgiveness, your salvation. And so you don't just leave us out to kind of like just high and dry. You actually come and you bring forgiveness. You want to forgive us. Jesus, there are things in this room. There is pride. There's arrogance. There is adultery. There is pornography addictions. There are marriages. There are spouses working through stuff. There are kids that are disobedient. There are people who are not just forgiving people. that's part of a sin is not even forgiving someone else. There's addictions in this room. There's workaholics in this room. Lord, there are people who are lazy. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a bunch of sins, God, in my own life at times. Lord, there's so much in this room. There's so many sins that you've taken to the cross. And God, we recognize we're sinners. We recognize we're broken. So this morning, we just come and we just receive your word of forgiveness. By faith, God, we receive that. We receive your word. We receive you wanting to forgive us. You want to. You want us to get on the four-wheel and ride the thing. That's why you bought it. That's why you died, Jesus. So we can receive it. This morning, Jesus, I don't know who I'm talking for. I don't know. We're just all of our hearts are just before you now. And we just receive your forgiveness, Lord. We receive your forgiveness right now. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how we praise you. You know, our God allows the church to be part of sharing forgiveness. And so right now, it's one of the greatest just privileges we get to do as the church, whether it be between believer and believer, or whether it be kind of publicly right now, we get to share forgiveness with each other. And so I'm just going to do that right now. Not because I'm nothing. It's just sharing what God says and what God has done for you. And so right now, I just want to say what Jesus says, which is, right now, you are forgiven. You are forgiven for what Jesus has done for you. It's yours. It's yours. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now go in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit with him this next week and all that you do. No, you are forgiven. Live as a forgiven child of God. There's nothing better than that. Have a great week.